for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday morning, December the 1st, 1991. Final service of the Thanksgiving weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tommy Cook of Tulsa, Oklahoma is the minister of the morning.
Glad to be here again this morning. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just thank you again today, Lord, for this precious time together. And we thank you for this camp meeting that we've had, Lord, and all that you've done, Lord. And we thank you for the meeting last night, Lord, the word that you brought forth to our brother, Lord, and the ministry to your people last night, Lord. Lord, it did something in me, and I just thank you for that. And I bless this camp, and I bless your people this morning. As we approach the word, we approach it reverently, Lord, and we thank you for it. And everybody said, in Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. May the Lord bless you. Let's turn over to 2 Kings 4. I want to touch on a few scriptures, and then we're going to the New Testament for about the next hour. I was telling them last night, I usually teach about an hour. I can always teach longer, but I find it's not how long we teach. It's just saying what God says and shut up and sit down. Praise God. 2 Kings chapter 4. And there's a mixture in the church. How many believe that? There's a mixture in us. And God wants to purge us from mixtures. And, you know, in the scriptures, I just wrote a few things down here. I've got a whole page of notes, but I just wrote a few things down here. You know, Jesus said to the last church age, he said, you're either going to be hot or cold. He said, if you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. And God does not want a mixture. Can you say amen? And in the Old Testament, you cannot wear linen and wool together. Wool speaks of work. It speaks of the curse. It speaks of sweat. And I see a lot of wool people are wearing, because a lot of it is flesh, and it's man's work. But I want to see the work of God, don't you? And I thank God for what He's doing here in this camp and other places across the land. And I'll tell you why I really appreciate Lake Hamilton. As Glenn said yesterday, they bring the fivefold minister in. And I believe, brother, we need the fivefold ministry raised up from the local fellowships, as well as bring them from the outside. I'm strong in that. I believe in that. Praise the Lord. And we know that the Bible tells us the believers are not to be yoked up with unbelievers. That is in the wrong way. Also in the Old Testament, you cannot plow, an ox and an ass could not plow together. And, you know, there's many things I could go into about the mixture. But I want to read the scripture here. 2 Kings 4. 2 Kings 4, 38. We could say a lot about mixture in us, things that are in us. And God's bringing us out of Babylon. And how many know God's taken Babylon out of us? And Babylon is real tonight. Confusion is real. Verse 38. Elisha came again to Gilgal. Now, Gilgal means to go in circles. And we know we've all done that. I probably went in circles more than anybody here, but we've all went in circles. And there was a dearth or famine in the land. And I believe the famine we know today is not physically as far as food and water, but again, it's hearing the word of the Lord to us. How many believe that? In many places, I'm telling you, there are people today, they're starving and they're hurting for truth and for fellowship in many places. And my heart's cry is, God, raise up shepherds that will feed the people of God. Can you say amen? And he says, and the sons of the prophets were sitting before him. Now, here's a prophet among the prophets. I believe there's apostle among apostles, prophets among prophets, and teachers among teachers, shepherds among shepherds, evangelists among evangelists. And they're all important. I'm not, you know, lifting someone up above the others, but the maturity we see in Elisha here is among these others. And so he's sitting there with these other sons of the prophets. And notice what he said, set on the great pot. Set on the great pot. Now, we know what a pot is in the natural, in the physical. We know what it means to put food in a pot and cook. But I looked up this word pot, and I was astonished what it meant. This word pot means anointed or it means an oil flask, but it's from a word, it means to smear over with oil or to anoint. How many know this is a pot today? Your body, come on, are the temples of the Holy Ghost. And God is warning us to put in this pot or in this temple the right things. Amen? Because again, there can be mixtures, there can be error, there can be a lot of things we can put in here. And we have to be very careful. So he said, put on the great pot and notice seethe pottage for the sons of the prophets. How many know preachers get hungry too? Hallelujah. Sometimes too hungry. Amen. Chicken eating prophets. Okay. Seethe pottage for the sons of the prophets. Now, this word actually is boiled soup. I call it porridge or mulligan stew. How many like stew in the natural physical? I love stew. Good homemade stew. So he said, set on the pot and seethe pottage in the pot for these sons of the prophets. Verse 39, and one went out into the field. Now, the field was a natural field. But how many know the field to us is the world? And so he said, go out into the field, and as you go out into the field, gather herbs. And notice it said he went out and found a wild vine. Now, there's wild vines mentioned here. There's a wild gourd mentioned here. But how many know there's a wild man in the earth? How many know there's a wild one in us that that God has to deal with? Come on now. There is as I've said before, there's a beast at the feast and a liar for the fire. There's a beast in you and me. David said, I was as a beast before him. And God has to conquer that old beast nature. Can you say amen? I know there's a beast coming out there in the world, but I'll tell you, unless we conquer it here, it won't matter what's happening out there. How many know this is important today? The man of sin is setting, come on, in the temple of God. The temple of God is not a natural building. God doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. This temple is where that beast is sitting today. Come on, help me now. I know there's a man of sin coming in the world. I know, and I believe that. But I'll tell you, there's one in the church too. He's standing in the holy place. Matthew 24:15 says. What's the holy place? It's your soul. It's your mind, your will, your emotions, and your desires. And most Christians and most churches are run and controlled by the carnal mind. We need, come on, the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ in this hour. Can you say amen? And I believe the greatest deliverance we need is in our soul, as well as our bodies. Those demons can get in the soul, it can get in the body. But boy, it's good to get them out, isn't it? Praise God. I walked through depression 15 years, and I tell you, I came to Lake Hamilton, and I got a lot of deliverance and a lot of help here and in many other places. And I thank God for deliverance today. And I tell you, I believe there are people in the grave today because they've come against the ministry of deliverance. I'm not putting this fear on anybody, but I'll tell you, we're not to fight deliverance. Deliverance is real. It is of God and Jesus. We know demonstrated deliverance as He walked here on the earth. I mean, no much of His ministry was casting demons out of people. And I believe in it. Praise God. And I thank God for it. I think we should stand for the truth and speak up and be bold about it, not compromise. Can you say amen? There's so much compromising in the church and in the ministry. And I believe that God is going to tear down a lot of that compromising. And I believe God's going to drive the people into the church. Hallelujah. The local church. He started with the local church, and He's going to bring people back to the local church. How many believe that? I believe it. I believe strongly in the local church. Praise the Lord. And I know many are going through things today, and yet will go through things. But I thank God for my deliverance from evil spirit. And a lot of it, I know, was from my background, my Indian background. And a lot of times we don't know what's back there, do we? Like Glenn said, 10 generations. We don't know what's behind us. But it comes through that bloodline. And I do believe that God has really touched my life and set me free in many areas. Praise God. Can you say amen for yourself? Hallelujah. Now, notice, he goes out into the field, this man. He gathers a wild vine, he gathers wild gourds and puts them in his lap, and he came and began to shred these gourds into the pot here, and it says, and they knew them not. They knew them not. They didn't know there was poison in the pot. And sometimes we don't know there's poison in the pot. That's why God put the minister in the church. Come on now. And discerning a spirit in the church. How many believe we need some discernment today? Brethren, we not only need discernment, we need wisdom with discernment. Just having discernment is not enough. You can kill people with discernment. Hallelujah. You need the wisdom, and I need the wisdom of God, with discerning a spirit. How and when to speak, amen, and to say what God's showing you. How many know that when God shows you things, you don't just run and jump and leap and move according to you. Wait on the Lord. You get the mind of Christ, because a lot of people can get hurt. Now, he says here, so they poured out for the men to eat. And it came to pass, as they were eating of the pottage, that they cried out and said, O thou man of God. Elisha was always called the man of God in the scripture. How many know that's true? O thou man of God. And he was a man of God. And we know he worked twice the miracles of Elijah did. There was a double portion ministry upon him. And we know he didn't get there overnight. How many know he followed Elijah? He was obedient to God. He poured water on the hands of Elijah. And he was an obedient servant to God. Praise the Lord. God trained him. God taught him. And I believe that God's training and teaching his men and women of God today. Hallelujah. And I believe he's bringing them forth, if I can say this in quietness. Amen. And we're receiving from the Lord. Now, verse 40 now. And they could not eat thereof. And he said, then bring the meal, and he cast it into the pot. And he said, pour out for the people that they may eat, and there was no harm in the pot. Now, I want to go back before I go into that and say again, it's a wild vine and a wild gourd. Now, as I said a while ago, there's a wild man in the earth. There's a wild ass. That's Ishmael. There is that wild beast. There was wild grapes, wild honey, wild olive trees and so forth. A lot of things mentioned in the scripture that's called wild. And so here, this poison is put in the pot. They come to the man of God, and they discern this death in the pot. And the man of God said, bring the meal. Now, the meal speaks to us as the Word of God. How many thank God for the Word today? And I'll tell you, the Word of God will destroy any kind of poison. The Word of God will destroy any kind of mixture. Hallelujah. We need to pour the meal into the pot. Amen. We need to get the Word into this pot. Come on, into us today. When I got saved, the Lord gave me a hunger and a desire for His Word. Praise the Lord. And I would go in on my job. I'd go in before work and study. I'd study on my lunch hour. I'd teach people right there on the lunch hour many times. I'd come in, sit down, and I'd just teach them the Word. And of course, I'd be studying at my teletype, and God would be ministering. I'd go out every night, not every night, many nights in the week, and minister that which He had given me. But I had such a desire for the Word, and I still love this Word. Praise the Lord. I don't have all the truth, but I'll tell you what He's put in my heart. He's put a love for the truth in me. I mean, we can have that. He put a love of the truth in us. Now, it says something here. It says, this man of God said, bring the meal and put it in the pot. Pour out for the people that they may eat, and there was no harm in the pot. Praise God. Then it says in verses 42, now, death, it seems, always takes hold before life. You know that? Hallelujah. How many know you always see the beast before you see Christ? Always. From Genesis to Revelation, always the beast is first. And then the Lord brings forth his people and so forth. Now, we have the pot. We have the pottage. There is a pouring out of this pottage. And it was given to the prophets. And it was poison in the pot, and yet the prophets discerned that. And there was the power of God. Elisha said, bring the meal and pour it in. There'll be no harm. There is the spoken word, and yet there is the meal that was poured in the pot, and God healed the thing. Now look at verse 42. And there came a man from Baal-Sheashai, and the man speaks to us of a corporate man today, because God is raising up this corporate man. And he brought the man of God, notice, bread of first fruit. Now, I'm not going to go into first fruit today. If I did, I wouldn't get out here in an hour. But I can tell you this, there is first fruit God's bringing forth in this hour. How many believe that? Now, barley, it's first fruits of barley. Barley was always first fruit. There was the barley harvest and the wheat harvest. The barley represents the sons of God. The wheat harvest represents the general resurrection. And the general resurrection and the harvest cannot take place until God raises up the first fruit or the barley. Now, Jesus said, there's the blade, there's the ear, and then full ear. Remember that? 30, come on, 60, 100. Outer court, holy place, holy of holies. And I could go on with that. God's given me about 70 of those threes in the Scriptures. But there is a barley harvest. Now, the Scripture, I could give you many, but one is Revelation 14, where He raises up the 144,000, the first fruit unto God and to the Lamb. And then if you'll read right on down in that chapter, Jesus comes out on the cloud and He reaps the harvest of the earth. But He will not come on that cloud and reap the harvest until the first fruit or the barley harvest is raised up. You see that in chapter 12. God raises up the man-child, the first fruit, and they minister in verse 6, chapter 12 of Revelation, to the woman in the wilderness and nourish and feed her and get her ready for the literal coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You got the first fruits, you got the wheat harvest, the barley harvest and the wheat harvest. Now, look at this verse. It said here, there came this man, and he brought the man of God bread of first fruits, 20 loaves of barley, and full ears of corn in the husk thereof. Now notice, it's in the husk, which means it's hidden, it has to be uncovered. The Bible said He's given the overcomer the hidden manna. You've got to dig for it. You've got to go for it. It's so much preaching out here on the surface. I mean, it's time to go a little deeper in the things of God. Can you say amen? And so it was barley and full ears of corn in the husk, and He said, give to the people that they may eat. It might surprise us if we have this revelation. If we give it out, who'll eat it? Can you hear me? Hallelujah. I believe if people's hungry, they're going to eat. I mean, you know that in the natural, but how many know it's true in the spirit realm? And the servant just said, what should I set before 100 men? How many men? Now this is in the natural, 100 men. But you got to think what I said a while ago. There's a 30-fold, there's a 60-fold, and there's a 100-fold. Barley speaks of a 100-fold. Praise God. If you're a 30-fold Christian, that means 70% of you still walking in the flesh. If you're 60-fold, how many know you got to 40% still? You're walking in the flesh. Isn't that right? But God is leading a people to the 100-fold, and we have not arrived there yet. We have not got there yet. We're on our way. Can you say amen? We're on the back 40, somebody said. 60 to 140. We're on the back 40, going west with a hammer down, somebody said. And I can believe it. Sometimes the hammer's on us, isn't it? I mean, all that His Word is like a hammer that breaks the rocks in two. We're a hard rock sometimes, aren't we? Give that the people may eat, it says here. Now, let me just show you one other scripture, then I want to go to the New Testament. Turn with me to Exodus 9. Yes. Yes, that's right, Glenn. Let's look at that in verse 44. So He set before them, they did eat and left thereof according to the word of the Lord. So there was a multiplication of bread. Exodus 9, let me just show you now what I was trying to tell you. The barley is always first before the wheat. Exodus 9, now this was in the time of Moses, the judgments of God in the land of Egypt. And in verse 31 it says, and the flax and the barley was smitten. For the barley was in the ear, and the flax was bold, but the wheat, now notice that, but the wheat and the rye were not smitten, for they were not grown up. You see that? The barley had maturity to it. The wheat had not grown up. And so when the judgment came, it knocked the barley down. It smote the barley there and the flax. But the wheat was not smitten because it hadn't grown up. Now, when they planted the barley and the wheat, they planted it about the same time. But the barley always come forth before the wheat. And I want to tell you again, God has His sons, His overcomers, His God's first fruit that's going to attain maturity or perfection, spiritual perfection, first before the others. That doesn't mean that they're elite. That doesn't mean they, you know, like they look at me. I mean, no, the more you have, the more you're responsible to give out. Amen? And the more you're required before God to give out. Now, let's go to the New Testament. How many believe that we need some real discernment today? Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'm going to touch on the gifts of the Spirit here for a little while, because I believe we need to see the gifts of the Spirit operating more than what we're seeing. How many believe that? Amen. Praise God. But before I do that, remember what I said. I said the pot meant something that was anointed. Hallelujah. We're not to let anything wild to get in this pot. Can you say amen? We're to guard this vessel. We're to guard it from error, from mixture. I could go into a lot of things on error and mixtures in the Scriptures. But I just feel to touch on a Scripture, some Scriptures. Now look in chapter 12 with me a minute. And did you ever notice down in verse 10 that the Lord did not put discerning of spirit with the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge? He put it right in verse 10. Notice, he sandwiched it between prophecy and tongues interpretation. He put discerning of spirits right between the utterance gifts. And I believe he did that for a reason, because we see the utterance gifts used probably more than the other gifts. How many have seen the utterance gifts used more than the other? And we need to discern that which is spoken in the church, because how many know there's a lot of false prophets in the church? There for several years it seemed like I got a bushel basket of prophecy. And I'll tell you, a lot of it was not from God. I'm not putting anybody down. I'm not coming against anyone. But how many's ever had that? And yet there is the truth in the midst of all the false. We don't magnify the false. We magnify that which is of God. But how many know false prophecies can affect you? Amen? Just like false prayers can affect you. And so we have to be very cautious of who prophesies to and listen to what they say. Because how many know people, there's a lot of people who want to take you over in the corner and prophesy to you. And I'm like Glenn, I like the light on. And if I've got a word, I want others to hear it so it can be not only listened to, but judged and discerned. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And I don't like that back corner or back room prophecy. I don't even like the telephone prophecy. Now, I know it can happen occasionally. I do it once in a while, but I've had people call me on the phone for prophecies, and usually I never prophesy to them. I just, you know, God has to do it. It's not something we turn on or turn off. How many know the Holy Ghost must direct? Can you say amen? Now, here in chapter 12, 13, and 14, we know we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit. And we know there are three gifts of doing, three gifts of knowing, and three gifts of speaking. Now, I want you to hear this. Three gifts of doing, three gifts of knowing, three gifts of speaking. And, or, said another way, three gifts of power, three gifts of revelation, three gifts of utterance. And I could boil it down and show you there's the head, there's the heart, and there's the hand, okay, with what I'm saying there. One of the little books over in the book table you need to get, if you don't have it, is Howard Carter's book on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The man that taught me in Bible college on the gifts of the Spirit was taught by Howard Carter. Howard Carter started the first Pentecostal Bible college in England many years ago. And he trained Brother Duncombe, who taught me. And Brother Duncombe, to me, he really moved in the gifts, and he trained and taught the students very well, I believe, in that area. Praise God. We need to know the gifts, what their meaning are, and how to move and function in. You believe that? I believe it. Praise God. I go into a lot of churches, and you never hear anybody get up and move in the Spirit. Something's wrong. Can you say amen? And we're to take the blessing with us, I believe. And I practice the gift of the Spirit as God directs. And I believe that God can speak a lot of things to us. I've went into groups where I've prophesied everybody in the place, in the church and in the house group or whatever. But how many know you've got to have an anointing to do that? You just can't run in there and do that. God has to direct you to do those kind of things. Now let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 14. Let's turn over there, man. Praise God. We know there's initial tongues, baptism of the Holy Ghost. There is the continual tongue, daily praying in the Holy Ghost. And then there is the occasional tongue, the messages and tongues that are given, of course, with interpretation. At Pentecost, there was the immersion. The Holy Spirit came in that room, the upper room, and they filled that room. And then there was the inflow, and then there was the outflow of the Holy Ghost. Now, in chapter 14, verse 1, he said, follow after charity. And we told you the other night, the word follow means to press. To press after love. And love, how many know God is love, the Bible said in 1 John, what, chapter 3 or 4, somewhere there? God is love. And so, when we follow after love, we're following after God. God is a Spirit. And that we have to follow the Lord. Follow or press after charity. And that word follow or press means persecution. And if you're going to press into God, I'm going to tell you, you're going to be persecuted. Hallelujah. You're going to know of real persecution. Can you say amen? Godly persecution. And notice, he said something else. Desire, that word desire means to covet. That's what it means. Look down in chapter 12 a minute. Look in chapter 12 and verse 31. But covet earnestly the best gifts. That word covet is the same word there as desire. God wants us to covet, to desire spiritual gifts. And notice, they're spiritual gifts. They're not carnal gifts. They're not gifts on the natural plane. The word spiritual means non-carnal. Hallelujah. God's gifts are supernatural. Can you say amen? Thank you, Jesus, for the gifts. I've seen the gifts change situations. You know, I remember one time I was ministering to a man. I went to speak in, I believe it was Rogers, Arkansas. And I got up, the Lord began to prophesy to people. And I picked this man out of the audience with the word of the Lord. This man had lost nearly all of his business. But within a week, through the word of the Lord, God restored that which he had lost. Hallelujah. Another time I was coming, I remember my own life, I was coming down around Dallas, and I'd been going through a financial crisis in my own life, and it just seemed like nothing would break, and all of a sudden the Spirit moved on me, and I began to prophesy about the finances, and when I did, of course it blessed everybody, and just the next week the thing broke, and the finances changed. How many know God's still moving in the earth? Come on, help me. Another situation I remember, I prophesied to a lady that within 30 days, God's going to restore their land and their property there in Oklahoma. And I remember that he called me on New Year's Day. And the last day, God moved and did exactly what he said. Praise God. I was really tested on that one. Hallelujah. But God will do what he says. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And so these gifts, moving among the people of God, can bless you. They'll stir you up. They'll cheer you up, and they'll build you up. Can you say amen? I'm going to say that again. They'll stir you up, they'll build you up, and they'll cheer you up. Now, we don't get our eyes just on the man or the woman or just the gift. How many know we get our eyes on the giver? Come on now. We get our eyes on Jesus. He is the giver of the gifts. Amen. I believe that. Do you? Look in verse 1 now. Follow after charity, desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Now, we know when we're prophesying, we are God's spokesmen, whether we're a prophet or not. I mean, just because you prophesy doesn't make you a prophet. That's the problem. People see a prophet moving in the Lord, and they want to move into that office and with that same gift. How many know that's dangerous to do that? But the gift of prophecy has been given to the body. You can prophesy if you desire to prophesy. But that doesn't make you a prophet. Can you say amen? Amen. In fact, don't run after that gift. Just run after Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. I hope he hadn't called you to be a prophet. I mean, how many know that? You know why? Look in James 5. You want to be a prophet? James 5. Let me show you about a prophet here. James 5. Of course, if God's direction moves that ministry into, you have to be obedient, but look in verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, to the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. Have long patience for it till he receive the early and the latter rain. Be you also patient. Come on. Establish your what? Heart, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Judge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge stands before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophet, who has spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. You want to be a prophet? You're going to know what affliction is, and you're going to know what suffering is within you. Can you hear that? Hallelujah. So these guys who say they're prophets, I want to see some of their suffering. I want to see some of their affliction. Because the real prophets will suffer and will be afflicted. Can you say amen? I know a man that's a prophet today. And he's on the field ministry. And while he was ministering one time, all of a sudden he didn't know where he was. He lost his mind. They put him in a mental institution, and I think he lost everything he had. And so one day he came to himself. He didn't know where he was. And finally, he said, "Where am I?" And they told him. But God's got him back on the field, restoring him, and doing a mighty work through this man. Praise God. How many know that's real? Chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians. Now, let's go back there. Follow after charity, desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. I believe the gift of prophecy, the gift of prophecy, with that gift, I believe every gift of the Spirit can operate. How many know the simple gift of prophecy has no revelation in it? The simple gift has no revelation. But words of wisdom and words of knowledge can come and work in conjunction or through that gift. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The word of wisdom and word of knowledge and discerning of spirits are in the prophet. We know that. And yet, as a body, how many know that we're to seek, to edify, come on, to exhort, and to comfort? When you start moving in revelation, you better know that you're moving by the Holy Ghost. Hear me now. And you better know that you're not treading into a ministry or an office that God has not put you in. Can you say amen? I know God can use anybody, anytime, any way He wants to. I realize that. Praise the Lord. But there is the office of the prophet that moves in words of wisdom, words of knowledge, and discerning of spirit. And so, through prophecy, though, other gifts can operate. How many of you can speak a miracle in existence? You can speak healing. The faith of God can move through that gift to others. Come on, help me now. You can speak in tongues and interpret, or you can prophesy, as I said, by itself. Words of wisdom, words of knowledge can come and operate through the gift as God would direct. So that gift of prophecy, every gift, can move through that particular one. Verse 2. Verse 2. Notice what it says here. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaks not to men, but unto God. For an old man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he's doing something. He's speaking mystery. How many know Christ in you is a mystery? But yet when you pray in tongues to God the Father, how many know that's the Holy Ghost praying to the Father through you? The Holy Ghost is talking to God the Father through you. And you're beginning to speak mystery. Hallelujah. So in speaking in tongues, let me set this way with tongues and prophecy. In speaking of tongues, number one, you speak to God. Number two, the mind, we know, does not understand always what we're praying in tongues, do we? There are occasions when you do know what you're praying for, but many times you don't. Number three, those mysteries, praise God, that you prayed in tongues, begin to come forth or be unfolded, those divine secrets. And you are edified when you pray in tongues. Now let's bring it over to prophecy just a minute. In prophecy, we speak to man. In tongues, we speak to God. But in prophecy, we're speaking to man. The mind understands, we would say, the words we're speaking. Praise the Lord. The mysteries you prayed in tongues will come out in prophecy, and the church is edified. Now, if the church is not being edified by the prophetic word, it's because the church is not praying in tongues. Because when you pray in tongues, you build up yourself and you open your spirit to God to flow in and through you. Can you say amen? And brethren, we need to pray more in the Holy Ghost. How many believe that? There are times I prayed in the Spirit, and I couldn't write that fast, hardly. Things God was giving me back in the Spirit to begin to minister and preach. Please. Most preachers never preach everything God gives them anyway. How many know that's true? God gives you so much, and yet you don't many times have the time to really teach and preach everything He gives you. Now, there's a hotline today, I believe, in the natural, between Moscow and Washington. Something happens, how many know we can get on that phone and call one another? But there's a hotline today, I believe, between earth and glory, and it's praying in the Holy Ghost. If that hotline in the natural is ever severed, it was made by hand. And if our hotline's ever severed, we sever it, not God. And I want to tell you, it's up to you and me. We are responsible to pray much in tongues to be edified. If you're not being edified, don't blame your preacher or anybody else. Blame yourself. You've got to spend time with God. Can you say amen? And again, I believe in this next year, we've got to spend much time with God to stand and to do what God wants us to do. I just have that feeling. We've got to learn to pray much in the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Amen. I love to pray with people. I love to meet together in the church and have intercessory prayer with the church, and that's fine. But I tell you, you need that in your own private life. I mean, sometimes you have to press your way through many things and pressures that come on you to get you to go here and do this and do that. But you've got to spend that time with God. You may have to get up before everybody in the family, you know, or stay up later at night, whatever, but you've got to spend time with God. Can you say amen? Oh, hallelujah. Now, notice, let me just say something else here to us while we're here. In chapter 12, 13, and 14, let me just say it this way. In chapter 12, You've got divine energy. Chapter 13, you've got divine love. And chapter 14, it should be divine harmony. Praise God. God wants harmony in the church when the gift of the Spirit is moving. Can you say amen? God is a God of order. God moves decently, come on, and in order. Chapter 14, now look at verse 3. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue does something. He edifies himself. But he that prophesieth edifieth, come on, the church. I would that you all spake with tongues, but rather that you prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaks with tongues, except he interpret. If I'm coming forth with messages in tongues and nobody's interpreting them, yes, I may be blessed, but how many of the church are not edified? Now look at this chapter. I want to show you something. Verse 3, you got the word edification. Verse 4, it's mentioned two times in verse 4. Then in verse 5 is the word edifying. Then up to verse 12, let's read verse 12 here. Even so you, for as much as you're zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying, come on, of the church. Then we go down to verse 17. For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. Let me know if we have a big supper out here somewhere, and somebody tells me to stand up and pray, and I get up and pray in tongues, and there's all kind of people present. How many know they're not going to understand what's happening? Come on, help me now. But if I give a message in tongues and somebody interprets and explains to the people what happens, they'll understand. Then look up to verses 26. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you, nobody's excluded. You know our problem today is we want the preachers to do it all. God has not called the preachers to do it all. God's called the body to rise up in the Spirit too. Can you say amen? And I believe the greatest revival coming in this end time is going to be the body rising up and knowing their place in Christ and moving in Christ in the Spirit. Can you say amen? Now it says something here. Notice, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm. That's a spiritual ode. It's many times psalms rhyme. You ever hear people giving psalms in the Spirit? It's like poetry. It rhymes many times. And hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying. God has designed the body to function with the unction. Hallelujah. Yeah. To move in the gifts of the Spirit. Amen? God wants you. God wants you. God wants me. He wants us all to move accordingly by the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. Let me tell you, brethren, you cheat your brother and sister from a blessing many times. When you have a word for them, and you know it's from God, and you don't give it, and you say amen. Hold your place. Let's go to 1 Peter 4 a minute. 1 Peter 4 and verse 10. 1 Peter 4:10. He said, Peter said, as every man hath received the gift. Now, whether we know Christ is the gift, Jesus is the gift, Holy Ghost is the gift, we know there's ministry gifts, we know there's gifts of the Holy Spirit, there's different gifts, but as every man has received the gift, whatever gift God's put in you and put in me, we're responsible. As every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. You cannot give out that which you don't have. And that which you have, you're responsible to share. Can you say amen? Oh, hallelujah, by the Spirit. Then he says in verse 11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. If I have a gift, it's because God has put the ability in me to use it and to speak accordingly. Can you say amen? We know it's not of ourselves, it's of Him. And He must be glorified, He must be exalted in everything we do. How many know these gifts are not to be displayed like children pulling a little red wagon down the street and say, look at me. Come on now. These gifts must do two things. They must glorify the Lord and they must edify the body. Can you say amen? Now, look at this now. Look at this. Watch this now. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracle of God. If any man, boy, that's power in that verse. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. God's the greatest giver, isn't he? That God in all things may be glorified. How? through Jesus Christ. If God has put a gift in me, and I'm using that gift by the Spirit wisely and blessing the body of Christ, how many know the body is going to bless the Lord? He's going to be glorified. But if I have a gift and I keep that gift in me and I keep it shut up in me and I don't give it out as God directs, how many know the body will not be edified and Jesus will not be glorified? How many believe that? Now, look at something here with me. Look at something here with me. Look at verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. When you start moving in God, how many know you're going to be tested? The fire is going to burn at your heel. Hallelujah. But don't let that stop you from moving in God. Because many people, hear me, that God is used in the past, today are no longer used by God because of many things. One woman I'm thinking about, she had a ministry of prophecy, and she would come forth and minister in that gift, and a preacher put her down very severely one time, and it crushed her. And to my knowledge, this woman has never rebounded to that place where she was. Now, look down here with me. Look down to verse 16. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Now, God must be glorified in the gift, and God must be glorified even in the suffering. Because if you're going to move in God, you're going to, how many know you're going to suffer? People's going to talk against you. You're not going to be received always. But if you're moving in God, how many know that you and God are majority? If you're moving in God. Now back, let's go to Timothy here. 1 Timothy. I should say God in you. God in you is a majority. I should say that. 1 Timothy 1, chapter 18. 1 Timothy 1, verse 18. 1 Timothy 1, 18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy. Now, Timothy was an apostle, whether you believe it or not. And I can show you that in Thessalonians. He was an apostle. But he said, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecy. And the word prophecy is plural. Notice, which went before on thee. So these prophecies were given over Timothy, over his ministry. That thou by them, by the prophecies, mightest war a good warfare. Now here's a man called to be an apostle. Here's a man that sat and was trained by the apostle Paul, like a father and son, a team. And he said these prophecies went over him, that by those prophecies you can war a good warfare. Our problem is this, we don't always listen and hear what God says. Or we got it all figured out and think God's going to move this way and God will move that way. How many know we need to ponder very much the word of the Lord that comes to us? And not only ponder the word of the Lord, but we need to take heed to what God says, because if we listen to God, I've seen many times words I've given people that when God would say, don't do such and such, they would do the very opposite and miss God 100 miles. How many's ever seen that in your own life? They didn't have tape recorders back here, did they? He said, Timothy, you better listen real good. You better get it in you. Because if you'll do what those prophecies say that have been given to you by men and women of God, would say, or especially men of God, the presbyter, then he says, then by those prophecies you might war a good warfare. And if you're going to have a ministry, you're going to know of war, aren't you? Now look in chapter 4. Look in chapter 4, verse 14. He tells Timothy, neglect not the gift that is in thee, whatever gift it is, whatever gift God put in you, whether it's gifts of the Spirit, ministry gifts, baptism, Holy Ghost gift, whatever gift. Neglect not the gift, the word is charisma, that is in thee. Where is the gift at? It's in thee. God is not an Indian giver. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. If God gave you a gift, He means for you to use it correctly, amen, and bless the body. Can you say amen? Amen. Neglect not the gift that's in thee. We can cover it up. Come on, we can hide it. We can ignore it. But don't do it. It's in there. We have to stir it up. We have to stir it up. Neglect not the gift that's in thee, which was given. God's a giver. By prophecy. This gift, whatever gift it was to Timothy, was given by the prophetic word to this man. Hallelujah. How many believe impartation is real from the Holy Ghost through His servants? And this was imparted, this gift to him, by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery or the elders. Praise God. God through the presbytery or through the elders, through the prophetic gift, Timothy was given a gift. Next verse. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that your profiting may appear to all. We're to think on what God has said, and it will profit not only us, but others, because of the gifts God has put in us. 2 Timothy 1, verse 6 and 7. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, Timothy, Paul is saying, that thou stir up the gift of God. How many like to get stirred up? How many know the Holy Ghost can stir you up? Amen. How many's ever been sleeping and all of a sudden you was awake and you was stirred? Maybe you'd had a dream or the Holy Ghost said, get up and pray, or something was happening. You were stirred. Well, God said, stir up the gift of God. Hallelujah. Begin to practice again that which He's put in you. Begin to seek the Lord and cry out for God to use you. Amen. Which is in thee by the putting on, come on, of my hand. Now, Paul said that gift was in you by my hand. For God has not given us the spirit of fear or timidity, but of power, love, and a sound mind. I believe there's a real impartation through ministry concerning gifts of the Spirit and even the fivefold ministry. How many know the ministry gifts can actually be imparted to people? I believe through His servant. Praise God. How many believe that? Amen. Now, let's go over to Mark 16 a minute. Mark 16. I want to just touch on this and we'll go back to Corinthians here in a minute. I just want to touch on Mark 16. Praise God. I know we all know it, but I want to just look at it a minute. In Mark 16, the key, I believe, is those who go. And when you go, how many know it may be next door to your neighbor, across the street, across town, across the world? But He said, go you, verse 15, go you into all the world, this great commission, and preach the gospel, come on, to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And we are believers, aren't we? And these signs shall follow them that preach the gospel. The apostles and prophets and teachers and shepherds and evangelists. No, it didn't say that. These signs shall follow them that what? Believe. Now, of course, we're going forth to preach or testify whatever God leads us. But He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. There's a lot of unbelieving believers who don't practice what the Lord has said here. He said, if you go, and that's under the direction of the Holy Spirit, He said, then something will follow you. You don't follow signs, they follow you. Our problem is we have followed signs too long. But the signs must follow us. And I'll tell you, if you'll go with the Word of the Lord, the gifts will follow the Word. How many know God didn't confirm you and me? He confirms the Word. Amen? Now notice, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall, first, number one, cast out devils. Now, isn't it strange we say, well, we speak in tongues? Isn't it strange that we lay hands on the sick? But many never hardly read that first one, do they? In my name, in my nature, in my authority, in my character, you'll cast out demons. Well, to cast out demons, it's, of course, we can do that just in the name of Jesus. And thank God for that wonderful name. But how many know we also need some gifts when we cast out demons, too? Come on, help me now. We need words of knowledge. We need discerning of spirits. We need a lot of things. The wisdom of words of wisdom, words of knowledge, of course. How to minister effectively to that person or person. Amen. Can you say amen? And then He said, notice, and they shall speak with new tongues. And we know that's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But how many know praying in tongues opens you up to gifts of tongues? It opens you up to the prophetic word as well. Can you say amen? Then in verse 18, they shall take up serpents. The word take up means remove. They shall remove demons and serpents. It's time to remove them, not just take them up and hold them. That's right. Right. Means to remove. Take up means to remove serpents. I'm ready to remove some, aren't you? Jesus said, I give you power over all serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. We're not dealing with little snakes out here we handle. Come on, help me now. Amen. And I'll tell you something else, I believe. With deliverance, at times we need the gift of faith to operate. To remove these things. I mean, I know in the name of Jesus they'll go. Hear me now. But we need the gift of faith at times too. Can you hear what I'm saying? If he drinks any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. How many know that you can claim that if you drink something poisonous, accidentally? And again, the gift of faith can also operate there in that position. Then he said something else, and they'll lay hands on the sick, and they might recover. They shall recover, but here's our problem. Many times, people will not be healed unless the demons are cast out. I said many times. Many times, people will not be healed unless the demons are cast out. I mean, where the demon has been, he affects the organs of the body. And God's able to restore and heal that part of the body. Can you say amen? Deliverance and healing work together. Let's look at this in Luke 9. Turn there with me. Luke 9. Praise God. Luke chapter 9. And I want to give you another scripture here in just a minute with that. Luke 9. And look at verse 1. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over, come on, all devils. All devils. Big ones, middle-sized ones, and little ones. Whatever. And to cure diseases. Notice, deliverance and healing there. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal, come on, the sick. Cast out demons, heal the sick. They go together. Then look in Luke 13. Oh, I want to touch on this chapter here a minute. Luke 13, Jesus is in the synagogue. He's on the Sabbath. And there's a woman that has a spirit of infirmity. No spine specialist would say she had a demon, unless he knew the things of God. They'd have a medical term. But how many know this woman had a demon right in her back, right in her body? She could not lift up herself and see the sunlight. All she could see was the earth. How many know this woman, it's a natural woman, but she's a picture of the church. I tell you, the church is bound today. But God is going to set her free. How many believe that? The church will be free when Jesus comes. Hallelujah. The church will be set free. Now, listen to me now. Jesus said something here in verse 12. Woman, thou art loose from thine infirmity. We know he called things that be not as though they were. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight. He commanded the spirit to go. We know that. And at the same time, healing come into her body. She was made straight. Now, here's what I want to show you. In this chapter, right in the synagogue, right in the natural temple, the natural building, you've got Jesus, you've got the woman, and you've got the ruler. Say it this way. You've got a bound woman, you've got a blind ruler, and you've got a blessed deliverer. Are you hearing that? All three were in the temple. Hallelujah. The woman is the church. I mean, oh, she is the temple of God. And in that temple of the church today, how many know there's a blind ruler? It's a carnal mind. But there's a blessed deliverer who wants to set all of us free. Come on. He wants to grow us up in the Lord as well as deliver us, whatever. Praise God. How many believe that? And Jesus did two things on the Sabbath right here. He rebuked the blind ruler and he healed the bound woman. And you see this very thing in Samuel. Hannah was barren. She's a picture of the church. And God gave her a man-child. You remember that? Right in the temple, there was a woman bound. There was a blind ruler, Eli, big fat man. Remember that? He's the old order. And God brought forth the deliverer, the man-child, Samuel. And I was in Iceland sitting on my, laying out on the bed at night there, and God gave me a word about Samuel concerning the end-time son. Praise God. And I haven't shared it here. But in this end time, hear me, the church is bound. The blind ruler is the carnal mind. But God is going to, and is raising up the sons of God. They are God's deliverance. Are you hearing me? How many know that they were killing babies in Moses' day before the deliverer was raised up? They were killing babies in the time of Jesus, the true deliverer, our Savior. And at the end of this age, they're killing babies again to stop the man-child. But how many know he cannot? And when the devil comes against a man-child, God takes him to the throne. Oh, if we get into that throne today and teach on that, how we could see so many things on that. So, brethren, healing and deliverance go together. Amen. God's going to set the bound woman free. How many believe that? All right, back to Corinthians. Let's go back there. Another 5 or 7 minutes here. I'm really enjoying this today. Glory to God. Now, back in 1 Corinthians 14, I want to look at a verse again here. In verse 12, again, I read a while ago. It said, even so ye forasmuch as you are zealous. And we need to be zealous for the things of God. But we need some knowledge with zeal, don't we, brethren? Even though we're zealous, come on, for spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. Now look at the next verse. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. But my understanding, come on, is unfruitful. Now, I want to tell you five words how interpretation comes. God gave me this a long time ago. How many believe that the gift of tongues interpretation is real, too, today? They equal prophecy. And really, you know, you go to a lot of, I guess you'd say, Pentecostal churches. Most of them are used to tongues interpretation. Where, you know, today I flow mainly just in prophecy, and many others do, too. But it's still gifts of the Spirit. But five ways to interpretation comes. Number one, I mean, God may give you a word or a sentence of words rested upon your heart, and you hear that word or that sentence of words, and you stand, of course, in faith and give that which God has given you. I mean, know that God, every gift demands faith on our part. God will not make you operate gifts of the Holy Spirit. God may give you something, but you have to exercise faith. How many believe that? And number two, you may see the words you interpret. You may actually see the words you interpret. Some people do. Or number three, you may see the very substance, that you're interpreting. It may be about, we'll say, you're interpreting, you may see Elijah or Jeremiah, and you're talking about what they're saying or something like that. Number four, you have an unction at times to stand and speak. This man who taught me in Bible college, he used to tell me he'd go to Springfield years ago, and he'd see all the great men who wrote all the books sitting on the stage, and here comes a message of tongues, and nobody would go to the microphone and interpret. And he said, I could just stand that so long. And of course, he had a beautiful gift from God to interpret. And he would just stand by faith, and with an unction and speak, and God would bless. And number five, and this is how it used to operate with me, there's an inward knowing here, the subject matter. And let me explain it this way. Many years ago, I used to move in tongues interpretation a lot. And when I would speak in tongues at different times, not always, but different times, I would know inwardly what the message would be about. Otherwise, there was an inward knowing what the subject's going to be about. It could be on the church, it could be on America, it could be on whatever. And I would know inwardly what the subject would be about, the interpretation would be about. Now, let's go over a little further here, just a minute. Let's go down here, just a minute. Okay, look in verse 27. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, at the most by three, and let that by course let one interpret. Otherwise, there's got to be an interpreter for every message. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence where? In the church. Now, we want to blast the women for being silent, but look here. How many women's ever heard teaching that was really crazy when the women was to be silent? How many know we're to all be silent? We're all to be moving the order of God, whether a man or a woman. Can you say amen? If there be no interpreter, let him keep silence. Who's going to keep silence? The man who gives the message in tongues. If there's no interpreter in the church, and the man who's given the message in tongues to the woman, he's saying, keep silence. The church wouldn't be edified. If I'm coming out with tongues all the time and the church is not being edified, there's no interpreter. How many know this? We've got to begin to pray ourselves. Come on, help me now. Let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Then verse 29, let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other prophet judge. If any man, anything be revealed to another that sits by, let the first, come on, hold his peace. Now, you see that word silence in verse 28? It's the same word there where it says hold, he's to hold his peace. Otherwise, he's to be silent. I'm going to read that again. If anything be revealed to another that sits by, let the first hold his peace, or let him be silent. Now, verse 31, for you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be, come on, comforted. Now, learning is two ways. How many know we learn how to operate in the gifts of the Spirit, and we learn by what God is saying through the gifts. How many believe that? Then verse 32, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. You cannot do your thing, can you? How many know you can send a kite out, way out in the air, but you can always reel that kite back in? But once words go out, how many of you can't bring them back in? He said, the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophet. And I don't care if we are a prophet or an apostle, who we are. How many know we're all subject to God and to the Word and to one another in the Lord? Can you say amen? Well, I think the gift can be used in everyone that desires it.
Well, what I'm getting at is, I've been in places where there were three prophecies or messages given, they'd get up and say no more.
Oh, no. No. Really, if you look how the translation's up, there's actually, well, for instance, like in Bible college where I went, all of us moved in the Spirit. And sometimes, like me, I would get three messages right in a row, just myself. Another guy would get up and give a message. Another woman would give one. You got five right there and three people. And so we've cut it off. You know, I've actually seen that. People just cut it off after three messages. Now, I remember one time I was in a church, and I remember we had three messages right in a row coming. It was in the Assembly of God Church. And I interpreted all three, and there was a fourth stood, and she gave, seeming a message, but inside God said, no, that's not a message, that's a praise. I said, let's just praise the Lord with her. We didn't criticize her, cut her down, or hurt her. Too many has been hurt over this one scripture. But I would see, I could see like three people would say, moving in God, and there could be five or six messages come forth, or a prophetic word come forth. You can't limit the Holy Ghost. You know, like last night, I had a word, the interpretation, then another word came right behind. I had it, and we went into praise, and then we come and gave it later. But how many know you can't limit the Holy Ghost? He's going to speak two or three prophecies to you from one vessel. You can't limit that. You know, you just got to be open to Him. Okay, that's no problem. Now look here at verse 31. You may all prophesy one by one. Now let me just say it this way. We can all be used by God if we want to be used. That all may learn, that all may be comforted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author, come on, of confusion or tumult, but of peace in all the churches of the saints. I believe where you see the Spirit moving and decently in order, you've got peace. But anything that brings confusion, God's not in it. He is not the author of it. How many believe that? God doesn't come in with prophecy and tear up a church and destroy a people. God doesn't do that. Now, He may exhort that church in a strong word, turn from wrong to right, err from error to truth. But how many know God, the Holy Ghost, is a gentleman? Come on, help me now. Verse 34, let your women keep silence in the churches. Now, see, you've got the one who gives messages and who's not interpreting, he's to keep silent. You've got the one who's to hold his peace here with the prophets. And then here, he's saying that let the women keep silence in the churches, for it's not permitted to them to speak, but they're commanded to be under obedience, as also saith, come on, the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. Well, how many know there's a lot of women that's not even married, number one. And number two, a lot of them couldn't ask their husbands because a lot of them aren't saved. But, hear me, how many know if you have a husband, it's good to consult with him? Come on now. Huh? Oh, yes. And especially men who's moving in the things of God. And so we need to look at that. Now, whether it was acts of separation, I can't prove it. Back in the Old Testament, what the men said on one side of the women, I can't prove that. I don't know if it's true or not. But if they were causing a disturbance in the church, Paul says, wait till you get home, ask your husband about it. But we're not to silence women if they have a word from the Lord. How many know there's too many of the scriptures that we could go into on that? Amen? I believe that prophecy is open to men and to women. Praise God. We cannot muzzle those whom God's anointing is upon. How many believe that? But we must test and prove and judge every prophecy that comes forth, whether it's through a man, through a woman, or whoever. God's not looking at our sex. God's looking at our obedience to Him. And yet, we know the wife has a place in the home, the husband has a place, and so forth. Now, look at this verse. He says, what came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write to you are, come on, the commandments of the Lord. If any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. You know what ignorance is? It's spiritual darkness. Wherefore, brethren, covet, come on, covet to prophecy. Desire it, earnestly desire it, but forbid not to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. Praise God. So I believe, brethren, today we need to have the gifts of God stirred up within us again. And we need to move according to the Holy Spirit. Problem in a lot of churches is there's a lot of control. And I don't believe in control. But I believe
in order. And if we're moving in order, how many know there's going to be real control of the Holy Ghost? Amen. And so I want to see God move through His body. I remember one time I was here, well, different time, but I remember people begin to just stand up, all of the congregation begin to prophesy. It was one of those learning times. I forget who was speaking, but it was beautiful just to see the body to rise up and speak. It's good to hear the word of the Lord through your brother and sister. Amen? Each one of us have a portion, don't we? Praise God. I tell you, you know, He's the firstborn among many brethren. And Paul talked about the church of the firstborn. It actually means the church of the firstborn one. There's a portion of the firstborn in it. We need to share it. Can you say amen? Let's stand. Hallelujah. Sila brandili brasole briki tara brasoya. Randili brosile brikia. Let's just lift our hands today to the Lord. And let's ask the Lord to use us. Not asking for any particular gift, but just ask the Lord His will and His direction that He would use you and me as He would see fit. Hallelujah. We can't demand and tell God how to do it. God tells us, Father, we just submit our temples today. We submit our hearts, our lives to You, Lord. And we ask You, Lord, to just use everyone in this place today. We ask the gifts of the Holy Spirit to flow freely through the men and women represented here, Lord. As they go back to their churches, their home groups, or wherever, God, we just ask You to mightily use them. Stir them up within, Lord. Anoint them with Your power. Lord, we pray and we thank You for the word of the Lord that comes through Your servants. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I just pray You stir them up, build them up, and cheer them up, Lord. That which You've given them, they'll give out to others, Lord. Lord, we thank You today for the gifts of the Holy Ghost. It's not something we turn on, Lord. It's not something we do out of ourselves. It's something that God, we yield to the Spirit and let Him move accordingly. And we thank You, Lord, that You're moving through Your servants. And everybody said, amen and amen. Let's just praise the Lord a minute. Praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Master. Praise You, Master. Praise You, Master. God, raise up in this group apostles and prophets and teachers and shepherds and evangelists, Lord. Raise up, Lord God, Your fivefold minister. Raise up Your body to go forth anointed in the Holy Ghost and to minister effectively, we pray. Father, for those that will be traveling home today, we pray for traveling mercies. Keep us from car accidents, car breakdowns. Give us a safe journey home. Lord, by the airways or whichever way we go, bless Your people as they go. And everybody said, amen and amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.